The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
Thank you guys so much for joining us again. We love taking a couple minutes of your week to give you some information on Kickstarters that are coming to our table and that are coming to the market and that you can learn about.
And this week we are talking about six games and an accessory that are coming to Kickstarter the week of June 11th, 2018.
We've also got a couple of interviews this episode. Kevin, who are we talking to today?
One interview. Yes, with Connor Reed. He is the designer of a 5-Minute Dungeon, and I think we're talking about the expansion that's coming to Kickstarter.
Yeah, so. It's on Kickstarter right now. We'll definitely check that out. I think Larry, the intern, is going to join us for that interview, so we'll pull him in as well. But before we get to all those things, let's talk about some of the cool stuff we were playing tonight.
Yeah.
What did you guys have going on, Ryan and Katie?
We played Sea of Plunder. It was a lot of fun. And I got to try Dragon Castle for the first time.
Dragon Castle, Sea Game.
I'd seen you guys play it, and I didn't quite know what was going on, but it was pretty fun.
What did you think? Was it what you expected?
I don't
know. Was it a lot different?
I've lost twice now.
So. Did you win, Ryan?
Yes. By a technicality, I managed to win by reversing some breaking of the rules.
Ooh,
that other folks
okay.
have done.
Oh, busted.
Like, yes!
Awesome. Good job, Ryan.
Their joys.
Well, one person got one extra turn they shouldn't have gotten, and they gained an extra 5
Ooh,
points that put them into the lead.
Hold it right there. Pull
so
it back.
Ryan called him on it.
Cool. I didn't know the rules, though. I just kept asking questions until they were like, oh, actually, we did
this I give up,
wrong.
You win.
Yeah.
It's like, yes.
And Sarah, myself, and Melissa, we played Lorenzo Il Magnifico.
Yeah.
From Simon.
And then we also played Council of Four.
Yeah.
Which I think I have maybe the record for the lowest points at
the
end of the game.
Sarah. We tried. It's just a lot going on.
It's okay. I didn't really understand what I was doing at the beginning
because
we were rushed to try and get through it, and then
Oh,
I know, and I know some of the reason you were learning to play that was because you're going to be demoing that at Origins. Is that right?
Yeah,
nice segue.
So now I know what not to do.
Okay, good. That's step one.
I can give people some tips.
That's right.
Yeah, is it a pretty heavy one? No, it's not that heavy.
It's just a lot of iconography in that game. Whereas Lorenzo, it's pretty easy. It's like I have these three colors. They match these three color dice. I need to play those on the certain numbers. So it's pretty fluid in how that plays.
It's a worker placement ish. So
Council 4 is just like, I'm going to take an action. What action do I want to do? Oh, what do these icons mean?
Yeah. I've played that one, and that one is not bad, but there's a little more meat to knowing what all the things are.
Because we, as experienced players, know, oh, if I do this, it's going to be a lot of points. So I was able to get quite a few points. I think I rounded the board.
Oh, nice. Lapped it.
Yeah, I was only about 7 points behind. I had a good engine going, and then I made one decision stopped my momentum.
Yes.
Yes, Kevin was able
but to Sarah did almost thwart us.
Oh, yeah?
I did.
Yeah, she played one
the backstab move.
I cleared the tokens off the board.
Yeah, I cleared some tiles.
To try and get what I wanted, but they wanted the two that were sitting there.
Yeah, it was pretty
so
good.
They had to take
but
a
I was able to
heartbreak. I got to play, I don't remember what it's called, Transmission.
Incoming Transmission.
Incoming Transmission.
That's
with Larry.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like a tile-based game. You've got cards that act as tiles, and then it has kind of like a mastermind mechanic where you are, one person's kind of helping you get the right answer.
Cool.
It was fun. We had a good time with that one. That was pretty much what we covered tonight, right? Did we miss any other things that were on the table?
I think that was it. Plus,
I'm trying to think. We, Kevin and I, this weekend played Rise of Fenris, which is Scythe, the new campaign expansion.
Okay,
We have a copy that was sent to us for review. So
cool.
We played the first game in the campaign, and I won. So looking forward to
Kevin's face.
Kevin's shaking his head.
I lost by like, I think it was just a couple points. It was a pretty close game.
No, I've played the whatever the other expansion is called.
Invaders
with
of the Far.
Additional characters.
Yeah.
This is the campaign mode, or so what is the difference?
This is the last expansion to Scythe.
Okay.
And he basically has an eight game campaign with also 11 modules. Okay. But before we can play them, you can either just play the modules and just do it all. You can just pick and choose your 11 modules, or you can play the 8-game campaign first and then play the 11 modules. If you just open the boxes and do the 11 modules, then you sort of ruin the campaign. So we thought, let's just push through the 8-game campaign real quick.
Because you're unlocking things, there's some boxes and punch sheets and stuff. So kind of like Pandemic Legacy, except it's not Legacy. You can reset and replay.
So we're going to push through the campaign real fast, and then we'll unveil what the 11 campaigns are. Then we'll play it with you guys.
Okay,
cool. That sounds really cool.
Because we need to push through, because we need to get the review out really fast
and be able to talk intelligently.
Yes. But there are some pretty big boxes, so I'm thinking there's going to be some cool
new
stuff.
Yeah, so the regular size box is pretty big. Then the other expansions they had nice size boxes, but this box is a nice size, board game box.
The viewers can't see that.
It's a nice size.
Hands were several inches apart from each other.
It's a little smaller than Ticket to Ride box. A little smaller.
Okay, cool. All right, well, let's give a shout out to our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Game Toppers LLC, and we're excited because we're going to see Kevin Berkey at Origins!
Woohoo!
And pick up, our Game Topper there.
Can't wait. Yeah. We were just talking Trunk Dimensions, who's going to bring back the...
we'll get it back, one way or another.
It's coming back somehow.
We'll drag it back.
Yeah, I can't wait to really see it and touch it and feel it. The pictures look excellent. It'll be really great to be sitting at that. I guess next time we do this, right? Yeah. Next time we record, there will be a Game Topper table right here.
And we can touch it and feel it and tell you how
we'll probably be more energetic and more even happy for our next
episode. Kevin will be stroking it.
Exactly. Nobody's spilling their drinks.
That's right.
When you have cup holders, you know.
We will also see some of our other sponsors at Origins as well. We're looking forward to seeing the folks at Bezier Games.
Yeah, should be cool.
See them there.
They've added a bunch of stretch goals to their Kickstarter. Is that over yet? Did they finish the 1 week?
No, I think it might still be going on.
A couple more days left?
Yeah, 1 week.
Did they add Rosie? That was important.
That's probably too late edition.
It's never too late. It is never too late. It has not gone to production.
But it did look like they added some cool stuff, so I'd love to see. I assume and hope they'll have a new version of it to show off there, and I'd love to maybe get in another play or to at least watch some people.
We need to add a fan version.
We should. We should bring our own Rosie. How can we make that?
Show up with the Rosie token.
It'll be the talk of the town.
Yep. There you go.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to a few episodes ago.
I don't know what number it was, but it's
the one
Rosie.
That says Rosie.
Exactly.
It's titled Rosie.
You'll find it.
Larry the intern just stopped by the house, and he and Will are going to interview Connor Reed, who designed 5-Minute Dungeon.
Welcome to the house, Connor.
Hey!
Connor, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Man, really good. Good to have you on the show. We were actually just looking at your Kickstarter campaign. It looks like you have about 14 hours to go. Is that about right?
It's getting there, about
in the time travel world. So this will be finished. It will have finished last week for our listeners. 10,000 backers. Congratulations. $345,000 at the moment. That's amazing. Yeah. Tell us what Kickstarter we're talking about.
We're talking about 5-Minute Dungeon, specifically the expansion to 5-Minute Dungeon. Curses foiled again.
Very cool.
Which is obviously an expansion to my first game. Quick backstory. I've been in the games industry for like 8 years, making like box art and stuff and like testing games and doing that. And finally got a chance to make my own game, which was 5-Minute Dungeon, which was on Kickstarter back in 2016. It had about 8,000 backers, did about 380,000 Canadian. So whatever that ends up translating to.
Yeah, very cool. I've seen this game a ton of times. And I have not yet had a chance to play it. It looks excellent, and I love the premise to it. Tell us keep going. Tell us a little bit about how the game plays and what kind of success you've seen with it.
The game is really straightforward. The name is very literal. You have 5 minutes to work your way through a dungeon. The main thing is that it's a cooperative game, and it is real time. So there's no turns in this game. Everyone is just racing to match symbols from cards in their hands to ones on the table. And so you will try and work your way through a dungeon to get to the dungeon boss. So the first dungeon boss is the baby barbarian. We kind of had like a light take on everything. So there's a bunch of jokey cards. There's the art is fantastic by Canadian artist Alex Diojan.
Did he also do the design too, or the illustrations?
Like, yeah, no, like all of the illustrations are him. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I just love your little Dragon 5 for the 5 minute. I think that's very cool by itself.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about kind of the what's new. There's a couple of new heroes you have there. What inspired, I guess, the druid and the shaman? What inspired you to add those? Why did you choose those as your new heroes?
Oh, sure. Like, the expansion itself started out of looking at what the community feedback was on 5-Minute Dungeon. We had great reviews and lots of people really liked it, but we heard that, well, they wanted more players, for one. So that kind of became like, yeah, we have to add someone new. But they also felt like they wanted some more stuff out of bosses. Like, they want some more uniqueness to the dungeons. And we heard some things about, like, it's easier with fewer, or it's harder with fewer people than it is with more people. And so there's some balancing there that I wanted to adjust. And so some of those things come out of, let's make the bosses feel unique. So we added boss cards that are unique to each boss and add new elements. We added artifacts, which are like these really powerful one-time cards that help work to balance out different groups, like player group sizes. So those were some of the things we looked at. And then, of course, we got into curses, which is kind of the main thing of the expansion. And these are things that come out and they make you do really dumb stuff, like have to say waffles repeatedly, or not be able to use one of your arms. Like, it's kind of just, how silly can we make this, and how much fun can you have in this space of, like, we are racing the clock at, you know, counting down 5 minutes, and can you, like, add in more chaos there?
Did it take you a while to come up with these curses? Is this something you just sat down and you just wrote out a bunch of ideas, or did it take you a couple of weeks to figure these things out?
Yeah, so we started on this expansion probably, like, a few weeks after the last Kickstarter ended. I'm like, okay, here's the idea. I've got it all laid out. And then we tried it and we're like, that doesn't work. Okay. refine, try stuff. So it's been a long time of, like, you know, cause some things sound great in your head and then they just don't work at all. Where you're like, okay, what if everyone has to, like, change seats every time they play a card? And it's like, no, that totally doesn't work. It's fun for like 2 seconds and then you hate it. And so there's a lot of that type of work that goes into figuring it out.
Yeah, so obviously you've done a lot of playtesting with it. Do you have kind of a core group that you do that with? Are you taking this to conventions and showing it off? Like, how are you getting... What's your source for the best feedback?
We have, like, a dedicated group that playtests our games that gives... Like, we know they will give us really good feedback. So if we put something in front of them, they will say, like, yeah, this works, this doesn't. I like this, I don't like this. And they're not afraid to just tell you, like, I don't like this game at all. This is a bad game. Right. And they have said that about some games, which we ended up not making because they didn't like.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. How about it?
I was just curious. Are you guys going to kind of create another game based off of this? Like, are you going to take this into the future and maybe add another game of this style, or are you thinking maybe let's do something completely new, completely different? Or are you happy with this game? Is that it?
I think part of the reason that I made a game that's 5 minutes long is because I have a very short attention span. So I'm not looking to make like 45 versions of this game. I really want to try another game. I've got a bunch of ideas that are like, oh, let's get these and try these out and, you know, see what really sticks there. We've got some games in the work, like some other concepts and things, 4 or 5 minute dungeon that are going to come out later.
Cool.
Very cool. Without being specific at all.
Worthless. Hit on that. Are you going to be at any conventions this year showing it off?
Normally, yes. I will probably be at Essen later on, but I won't be the one showing it off. That'll be someone who actually speaks German, you know, properly doing it. Because we're partnered with Cosmos in Germany, so they'll have someone better probably than me showing it off.
Now, this will obviously, your campaign will be done by the time this airs. Are you going to be taking any post-campaign pledges, or how can people get a hold of this if they missed it?
Yeah, if they missed out, immediately after the campaign ends, we're going to swap over to like a pre-order store where people can still back while we're, you know, getting quantities figured out and getting that together. And then for the original game, we partnered with Spin Master for North America. So they distribute the kind of a hourglass shaped version that you'll see in retail stores. So they will be taking that and putting it into retail eventually, whenever they're doing that.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. What is your distribution model, or what did you do last time? A lot of our listeners are potential, you know, going to bring a game to Kickstarter. So we'd love to get some of that inside information, like how are you doing it overseas and all that kind of good stuff.
Well, we're in a kind of a unique position because we were game developers for years. Like, we were game publishers, I guess. And so we kind of sat in the other chair, so to speak, for a long time where people were bringing us ideas. And when we kind of decided to shrink our core business down and become just full-time developers. So now we have to go out and pitch to publishers all the time. Mm-hmm. And so with 5-Minute Dungeon specifically, we took that to publishers and we said, hey, what do you think about this? And we heard, it's nice, we like it, but it doesn't really fit our scheme, or we're not really looking for that type of game right now.
Yeah.
Have you considered Kickstarter? And we heard, have you considered Kickstarter, quite a few times, that we're like, maybe we actually should try this and see if this is a viable thing, if this is a good idea. And the response was amazing. Like, it was unreal.
You say you were funded in 20 minutes on your Kickstarter page. Is that something that you guys, was that a goal that you set, or did that just happen?
Well, actually, I was just about to say, our first Kickstarter.
Great minds, perfect.
The first Kickstarter funded in 6 hours, which was about 20 days faster than we expected.
Okay, very
and
cool.
And our newest one, as you said, funded in 20 minutes. We kind of like tried to figure out how quickly that would fund and what we should plan for. And 20 minutes was on no one's like list. It was, we could not believe that. That's incredible. Like, it was crazy to press the go button and then go, oh, we've got a backer. Ding. Oh, we've got 10.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got 20. Like, in ridiculous. I couldn't have imagined something better.
Yeah. Besides it being an excellent game, what do you attribute that to? Are you stoking your fan audience, or do you have some channels that you promote through? Where are your fans connecting with you at?
I think there's a few different things. One is we built a, this is going to sound like a tangent. We built a timer app for the game that has a bunch of voices in it that keep track and kind of yell at you every few minutes to keep you on pace. And nice. That timer app, we got John Bailey, who does the narration for Honest Trailers, the YouTube channel the YouTube show. We got Nick Landis, who does voices on Team Four Star for the Dragon Ball Z Abridged thing. We got Becky Shrimpton, who does voices for Five Nights at Freddy's. And
you guys just have BFFs everywhere, or?
And essentially we got them to do voices and had them do some videos like sharing the game or playing the game and talking about it. And that helped bring an audience that was outside of kind of the normal board game group. And then we had a lot of nice things said about our game by, you know, Rotto and Edo and a bunch of other reviewers. Like, we sent out, I don't know, 50 different copies of the game to reviewers and said, cool, like, please review. And they did, which was awesome.
Did you get these big names out of the blue? Like, did you just hit them up, or did you know someone? I mean, that's pretty impressive, the list of names that you got involved with.
These were all kind of like out of the blue, like just trying stuff, because it sounds great, but if you saw the list of people we tried versus people we got, like, you get a lot of no's. You know, there were a lot of people who were like, oh, what about this person? It's like, yeah, no, we're not gonna even respond to your email. Okay. You know, it's a lot of no's and some yeses.
Well, that's awesome. That's really cool. That's a great strategy. That's the kind of thing that people need to hear is happening, and go make it happen for themselves. That's really cool. Well, awesome, Connor. Tell us where people can find your stuff. Like I said, the campaign will be over, but give us your website, Twitter, all that good stuff.
Yeah, our website is wiggles3d.com, which is spelled like it sounds, or 5minutedungeon.com if you're interested in 5-Minute Dungeon. It's there. Our Twitter account is wiggles3dgames. Facebook is wiggles3d. You know,
Okay, so they can find
yeah.
it. Cool.
Is there more involved with Wiggles 3D than just the game? It just seems like there's a very big disconnect between Dungeons and then Wiggles 3D.
Yeah, well, as I said, this was the first game I got to make, and so I wanted to do dungeon stuff. But prior to that, we've done a lot of like kids games and party games and family games. We did a magnetic game called Bells. We did a movie trivia game called Pass the Popcorn. Did a visual trivia game called I Know. So like we did trivia, we did, you know, various other stuff, but it's
so Wiggles covers it all.
Yeah, yeah. And now that I got to do something, I put dragons in it because I like dragons.
Awesome. Good reason. Well, thank you so much, man. We appreciate your time and having you on the show. And big, again, huge congratulations on a very successful campaign. We'll be looking forward to seeing that on tables soon and our friendly local game store.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bye! Super cool having Connor on the show and hearing about 5-Minute Dungeon and the expansions to that. And always glad to have Larry stop by and help us with an interview. I think we're ready to roll now into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
All right, Katie, what are you looking at tonight?
All right, so I'm going to start us off with Solar City. It is a game for 2 to 4 players. It says it's going to play in 30 to 45 minutes, which is pretty fast.
That's great.
Yeah, I know. I'm always looking for a good quick game. Sometimes you just don't have the 2 hours to devote to some things, and I like those 2-hour games. But it's really nice having some of the short games to play in between.
Like them all.
The short games come to the table more often, so there's that.
That's true. But the big ones are fun. Anyway, so that's besides the point. So, Solar City. It is a game where the background is there's a lot of pollution in the future, and there's you're trying to create a city that has the most green, the most oxygen. You're trying to work against pollution by adding things like, you know, solar-powered things, wind turbines, green skyscrapers, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Do you wear a wind turbine? Is that similar to a wind turbine? Are those like...
Did I say turbine? I'm Southern here. Turbine.
Turbine, yes. It's all about clean energy.
That's yes, right. It's about clean energy. So this is a city-building game where you're placing tiles and you're trying to activate different portions of your city to get the most what does it call it, like oxygen points or something. But it's got you work a lot with like area enclosure, so you're trying to like get your city to like connect and do all these different things. You
Biodome the game.
I don't know. Maybe not quite like that, but it sounds like it'll have some interesting things. I always love tile placement, so I'll be looking forward to this.
Cool.
Ryan, what do you have?
Coming June 12th from Mythic Games, Solomon Kane. Mythic Games was the publisher that brought us Time of Legends, Joan of Arc, and Mythic Battles Pantheon. Mm-hmm. And Solomon Kane is based on the pulp novels or serials
of the same name
Solomon Kane from like the late 20s and 30s. These were written by this guy Robert E. Howard, who wrote Conan
Pretty
the Barbarian.
Okay,
that gives you kind of the feel of it. It's kind of a gritty, you know, pulp fiction, but there's like magic involved. So Solomon Kane is this Puritan Avenger, agent of God, who's going out fighting evil and foul magic. So in this game, it's a 4 versus the game. It's cooperative.
Oh, okay, cool.
And you're fighting against the AI deck. It's a tactical miniatures game with cooperative storytelling and resource management.
Sounds like your thing.
But the interesting twist to this, which makes it a little different from games that are normally like this, instead of being Solomon Kane and his allies, you control them, but you control them collectively, and you represent the 4 virtues: courage, prudence, temperance, and justice.
Oh,
so you like all control Solomon at the same time, apparently. Like, I'm not quite sure how this works, but it sounds like an interesting spin off of how they normally do these. And they're coming out with the original tales of Howard, Robert E. Howard, and they're going to expand and try to do all of his adventures that he wrote
as well as Kickstarter?
In future expansions, as well as original adventures. So it sounds like it's going to be pretty cool.
That's potential.
Kind of dark. I was looking at the movie that came out in the late 2000s, and it was like, whoa, this is intense. So we'll have to see what the game looks like. The box cover doesn't show you a whole lot, but it looks like it's going to be gritty.
Cool.
So
keep an eye on.
Will, what do you have?
I'm looking at Witless Wizards, which sounds like it's up my alley just from the name. It's from designer Chris Marling. It's coming to Kickstarter June 12th as well. It's from Draw Lab Entertainment. It's a short, it sounds like a pretty quick card game for 2 to 4 players. It only says it has like 15 to 25 minute gameplay. The way it sounds like the game works is that there's a bunch of different types of decks in the cards, maybe decks of cards, maybe something like Smash Up or something, I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. But you pick like 3 of the decks that you're going to play with each round, and you shuffle those all together, and then players take turns drawing a card, and then it's kind of like chicken, like where you decide if you're going to keep the card or give it to somebody else so that you can draw the next card to put into your hand, because once the cards are exhausted, then you guys are going to duke it out with the deck that you have. So it's kind of a card drafting mechanic.
Is it a push your luck? I mean, it kind of sounds
kind of like maybe that's a good. I don't really know how to describe it, but basically, you're going to just keep drawing cards off the deck, and if they're bad, you want to give them to other people, and if they're good, you want to keep that one for yourself, and then it goes to the next person. So you got to kind of determine like how good is this card, and how do I want to risk taking the next worst one? So yeah, definitely a push your luck. And then once you have that deck, that hand of cards built, then you'll duke it out with different spells and try to beat each other. So it sounds like a quick, you know, filler type of game that could be pretty fun. The art for the cover looks really cute and fun. It's like, you know, a bunch of wizards with their wands out blasting each other. So check out Witless Wizards June 12th. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Also on June 12th is the game Inoka, and this is from XYZ Game Labs. And this is a pocket-sized card game that is everyone controls a clan of squirrels, and you are battling it out to trying to gain the leaf totem for your clan and basically proving that you're the best clan. So this one has some great artwork from Amy Nagy, and it's very fanciful, fun. Looking artwork, and it's a very simple but quick filler card game that looks great.
With squirrels.
And this is coming June 12th. Kevin, what do you have?
Mine is not coming June 12th.
Yay!
The one game that I'm talking about is coming June 14th. It is called Doll Guards Academy.
Like dog?
Like a doll.
Dull.
Doll Guard. D-A-H-L. G-A-A-R-D.
Oh. Okay.
It's like, feel like a, almost like a gin name, sort of. Anyway, this is an expansion to one of my favorite games.
Oh, really?
Trickerion.
Oh. Magic. Yeah.
Magic, illusions. This expands the magical world and gameplay of Trickerion with a slew of exciting new features, which we're going to hear more about in our interview, which we're going to talk about next week with you guys. So we're going to bring David, one of the developers and designers of the expansion,
cool,
to Trickerion. Trickerion came out from Mind Clash Games. They're bringing this game, this expansion, on June 14th. It's going to have a new location, a new specialist, a new quartet of magicians, and I know a lot of people are going to be happy about this. It's going to add solo mode. It's called the Corrupted Heir. So, not H-A-I-R, H-E-I-R.
Dogs and hares.
So, anyway, so we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to the interview next week with David, and hear more about the behind-the-scenes of this expansion.
Do you know, same illustrator? Does it look the same, or is it pretty different?
I think so, yeah. Okay. Yep. Cool. I saw some pictures, so it looks pretty cool.
Neat.
So, Melissa.
The game I'm talking about is coming on June 12th.
Ha-ha.
So we're back, back on our golden date there. It is Master Pennington B. Knickernacker the 16th and the Planecrafters.
What?
Or more commonly just called Planecrafters.
If you type that into Board Game Geek, will you find it with that?
I believe it's just Planecrafters.
This is a 2 to 4 player card game that plays in about 30 to 60 minutes. It uses some set collection and hand management. It is published by Paisley Board Game Company, and Kevin and I have a review of this game, a preview.
Yeah, preview of it.
So you can check that out on our YouTube channel. Basically, on your turn, you have five steps. Hire, you can get an employee. Acquire, you get parts for your plane. Flyer, you build the plane.
And?
Buyer, you can sell your plane. And then the last thing is cleanup.
Oh, okay. I feel like we should guess. But there
it is. That would have been awesome.
What was it?
Retire or
expire. Oh, retire. We should have told them.
But anyway, you have...
Or expire.
Next time.
You're kind of building your plane. You have wings and noses and tails and fuselages. Are we done now?
I'm just going to keep interrupting until it,
for the rest of the episode. And you're trying to get similar types of parts from the same plane. And if you do that, you'll score more money. But you can build a plane with a mix match of parts.
Yep, so your plane can look funny.
Right. So the planes can look funny.
But it still has to have noses and wings. It just can be different, like, designs. So
they have, like, I don't know, Supernova is one color and design. Mm-hmm. And there's Goliath, which is another. So you'll get more money if you have a plane that looks good and matches.
Matches, yeah.
And then there are employees that let you do all sorts of things. Some of them can kind of attack other players and steal their money and parts, and some of them can defend.
Yeah, one of the ones I really like is you can sell a plane that's not complete. So he's the
used car salesman.
Constructor worker or something like that. So anyway, he's kind of fun because like, he can push through lots of planes really fast that way. Hopefully they get finished by someone else. So,
but anyway, it's a fairly quick card game. I think, Ryan, did you play this one?
Yeah, I played it, and I won the game I played because I had somebody that gave me a discount on workers, so I just built all sorts of workers, and then there's a bonus, I believe, for the most workers.
Yes.
And that did me up. I was going to say did me in.
But made you win.
Yeah, made me
didn't,
win. Yeah.
Didn't you win.
Pushed me across that finish line.
That's right.
Yeah, so there are some goals, end game goals that can give you points, and you're getting points for selling your planes and building the best planes, and that is Plane Crafters coming on June 12th. And Katie, you had something else?
Yes, this is a board game accessory.
Oh, accessory!
Yes, it is...
Earrings.
No, that would be cool. But this is a board game backpack.
Cool.
By Geek On.
Geek On.
Yeah, and I have tried contacting them to find out when their actual Kickstarter is.
Okay.
So they're really tight-lipped about it. They just keep saying soon.
Oh.
So there is a chance it's already on Kickstarter when this airs.
That's okay.
But it is not as of this moment.
Okay.
But it looks like it's going to be really neat. It's designed to hold your board game, so it has kind of a squarish design.
Okay.
Some of the things that it includes is waterproof zippers.
That's nice.
It's expandable. It has a lot of pockets, a lot of interior, like mesh pockets where you can put smaller things. It has a water bottle pocket. It's got a protected laptop section, so you can bring your laptop along
board
too.
Games.
Yeah. And then it comes with, well, I'm not quite sure yet if these are an add-on or not, but elastic bands that go around to keep your boxes together while you're traveling.
That's nice.
So it looks like it's going to be, like, really neat.
Yeah, we'll have to get one of these to replace your drum bag sometime.
I know. I fixed my drum bag, so it looks good.
Was it broken?
Some of the seam had come apart, so...
That looks real cool.
Oh, it does look nice.
Are they... So, obviously not in time for this year's Origins. Maybe next year or something?
Yeah. There you go. I don't know. Like I said, they have been very tight-lipped with me when I contacted them about it. So
tell us your secrets.
We'll see when this actually comes out. But I wanted to alert everybody to know that it looks looks like it's going to be really neat.
So. I still think we should... I don't know. I still go back to Melissa. I think we need to tell them about retire.
Get it in the game.
Oh, yeah.
So It's not too late.
Ryan, I was like, I had already moved on.
I can't move on.
You should retire from bag design.
Acquire, flyer,
buyer, retire.
Can they put tires back on? Like, can they retire?
Anyway, thank you, Katie. I'm sorry, my mind was just like focused on that.
Fixated.
That's okay, Kevin.
He wants us to retire. I don't blame him. So, Origins, when are you guys leaving? We're leaving tomorrow because we're going a week early.
What?
And this will go live when you guys are leaving.
The next day, yeah.
The next day? Yeah. Okay. So heading up Tuesday.
Yeah, early Tuesday.
Do you have plans? Like, are you going to listen to catch up on all your podcasts, Kevin?
I'll make sure I download all the podcasts. Make sure we download the Tantrum House Board Gaming podcast.
That's right.
Listen to that on the way.
Re-listen to yourself. What are you going to be listening to? Tell us.
We'll probably listen to Brawling Brothers.
Yeah.
I know they're going to have a meetup there with Man vs. Meeple and Blue Peg Pink Peg.
I think they're
Origins.
Going on 3 years. Did I know,
that crazy?
That's pretty cool. Congratulations to those guys.
Yep. Good job, guys.
We need to talk. Secret planning meeting. Hold on. Don't listen to everybody. We're on episode like 43 today. Oh,
do we need to get ready for 50?
Yeah. Well, not just 50, but 52 will be a year, right?
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, we could do 52. We could 50 also.
52.
We'll just have 52, like 3 weeks 52. Of celebration. 50,
boom.
51.
That's
52.
Right. That's how we do it.
That's okay. How we do it.
There we go. That sounds cool.
So if you as a listener have any good suggestions for what we should do for our year and or 50th episode.
What should we do for our year? Yeah.
52, we can probably...
Tell us at hello@tantrumhouse.com.
Yeah, that sounds like a great plan. Are we wrapping up a contest today?
Yes, we are giving away a copy of Chaos of Cthulhu from Imp House Games. So, Ryan, why don't you roll our dice?
And the number is number 9. Who is number 9?
Anthony from Massachusetts. Congratulations.
Hey. That's pretty cool. Thank you guys so much for everybody that entered. We had a bunch of people who sent us feedback on their favorite segments of the show. We're glad to know that people enjoy listening to us. And and we're super glad to be able to give this game away. Every time we pull this box out, I think, man, this is a cool box cover.
It's
I want to stare
cool.
at it. But I can't touch
don't
it.
Don't open it, Will.
Still we have to shrink. Send
this
it's still
Anthony.
In shrink. It's safe.
It's still in shrink, Anthony. I'm looking at it while it's in shrink. If it's not in shrink when it gets to you, that's not my fault.
Well, cool. We will get you a notification out via email, and then we'll get this in the mail. Yeah. But thank you so much for joining us for this contest. And we'll, I'm sure, have some cool stuff again to give away in the near
definitely.
Future. Well, cool. So we'll be doing that. We will be up at Origins already.
Yes.
You guys will be coming up.
Yes, as you are coming up listening to our episode, let's talk about some of the things we're going to be doing at Origins.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about that. You guys are demoing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
by you guys, I mean
Katie.
You ladies.
All the ladies,
all the ladies
are
of Tantrum House are demoing.
Working yeah. hard.
I'll be in the CGE room in the mornings.
Melissa's going to
so
be
I have
at
the morning
CGE.
Shift.
Come
now,
say
they,
hi to Melissa.
They're not going to be in the hall. They're going to be in their own separate room. Is that like on the first floor?
I did not see where it is,
okay.
but there will be a CGE room with
okay.
lots of tables, like 15 tables.
Sweet.
And I'm actually scheduled to teach Galaxy Trucker a couple times and Zulkin.
Okay.
So that'll
like
be a lot of
games.
Fun.
Do you have any idea what the mega version of Codenames is going to retail for? Do we have any guesses on that?
I do not know, but they will be
worth?
Selling the XXL
at least
version.
Twice the original version? I don't
so
know.
So that's $40?
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's probably worth
more?
45?
50?
I bet it's more than that.
It's huge.
It's
we,
huge.
We were lucky enough just to score a demo version for
right.
some of our game day events
right.
that we do.
That, that's a real version.
Right. But I mean, that was before we knew it was going to be something that people could buy.
Right, right.
And it's awesome. Like, I love having it on my board game shelf because you can't miss this massive
and bringing it to bringing it to different game days is fun.
Yeah, so. It's super fun. So that's going to be cool. I think that'll be a big seller.
I think so, too. That'd be cool. And it's probably inexpensive enough. I don't think it's going to be like $300 or anything.
Right.
No.
So.
No, I would be sure it's not that much. If it is.
Well, there's a current game that's asking $300 for their XL version.
Woo!
Azul.
Is
asking
tiles.
Oh, but there's like...
It's like ceramic tiles or something.
Yeah, that could be a little more expensive. I can see that.
Yeah, that's cool. What are you guys doing? Sarah?
I will be demoing Bloodborne, Council of Four, and Lorenzo Il Magnifico for Simon. And that'll be all day.
Oh, are you doing 8 hours?
I'm doing 8 hours.
Okay, yeah. Sarah's doing 8 hours. Melissa's doing 4 hours a day. Katie, you doing?
8 hours.
8 hours as well.
At Simon, yeah. I'm going to be
so hard for the
at least we know that if we need to go see someone,
you can find us there.
We know where they are.
Yes.
Katie and Sarah will be at CMON all day long.
Yep.
And then us guys will be running around. We're going to be doing a bunch of interviews. We have stuff set up with game designers and developers, and we'll be talking with publishers.
So some of the, do you want to list off some of
them?
So we'll be interviewing people from Deepwater Games. We'll be interviewing from CGE, Grand Gamers Guild, Renegade Game Studios, Foxtrot USAopoly, North Star Games, Gray Fox, Colossal, Queen Games, Thunderworks, Bezier Games.
I just got tired listening to that.
But that
are we splitting up for this?
But you have like a whole...
I got more, but Will just told me to stop.
But more importantly, we have two gamers that we will be gaming with that were backers from our Kickstarter. Yep. And that probably is one of the most exciting things that I am looking forward to.
Make sure we bring promos to give them
yes.
from our Kickstarter campaign.
Are you guys bringing like your favorite games to play with people there, like in the evening?
Yeah, we probably should definitely do that.
We got to look through the collection and see what cool new stuff we've got to show off, because that'll be cool.
Yeah, well, you can also find at least some of us on Friday night with the Punchboard Media meetup. That's going to be at 9:30 in the Unpub room.
Yep.
So definitely come by and say hi.
Yeah.
I know Kevin and I will be there.
Yeah.
Hopefully some of the others as well.
Yeah,
as
I think we're going to rotate in and out. I think that'll be a fun event. That's a lot of people are going to be there media-wise and developers and designers and stuff. So that should be a cool hangout to get to just rub elbows with people. And,
mm-hmm.
Do you rub elbows or shoulders? I'm not sure. Here,
we talked about this.
Ryan's ready to rub elbows.
We talked about this, but since we're doing so many interviews and so many meetings with these game companies, we thought for our next episode, we're going to do something special. So we'll hint at that now and tease you, and we'll talk more about that in our next episode.
Yeah, be sure to tune in, because we will have some cool stuff going on. Yeah. And I think that pretty much wraps it up for tonight. So thank you guys for joining us.
Yes.
And tuning in, and be sure to catch that next episode, because we'll have some cool stuff going on. Till then, we'll catch you later.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.